Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
Hey, Ryan. I am. How are you?
I'm awesome. Just awesome. It's day 21. I'm pumped up. I'm excited. I'm thrilled with where I'm at, and my faith is just over the top phenomenal. Woohoo! That's all I got to say. I'm really glad we did this 21-day challenge. I'm looking forward to the next 21 days, too.
Yeah, same deal. Should we just repeat it again? Is that the deal, or what?
How going? Yeah, let's keep going.
I'm all for it. You know, if we have as much of a breakthrough in the next 21 days as I personally have had this last 21 days, I don't want to quit.
I don't want to quit either.
And, you know, I've had this habit for years, and yet because I'm joined finally with somebody who really sees it and is with me on it, and it is just, it's, you know, where two are gathered together, you know.
It's exponential.
Any two of you agree? Hey, there it is. If any two of you agree on anything touching, you know, it will be.
And it is.
And this has been just a phenomenal thing for me.
Me too.
I resisted it totally, and I bought into your 21 days as a habit. But, you know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, good for him. He'll get the habit too. But me, I already have the habit. You know, kind of arrogant baloney. This, I got to tell you, Ryan, this has been an experience that probably equals any other experience I've had with Dad, because my faith has grown exponentially. I feel closer. And yet today, I felt disconnected, interestingly enough, until I listened to the last podcast you just put up. It spoke to me. The content was go to Dad, go to Dad, go to Dad. And, you know, and we're doing that in kind of a almost, what's the word I want to use?
Contrived method.
Well, patronizing way of telling others to, you know, jump on and, you know, get this experience like you and I've got this experience. And today I needed a boost like I haven't needed for some time. And I got one by listening to that Grace Me podcast. That make any
it
sense?
It makes total sense, because when I'm editing them, I feel really good. I feel excited about what's going on, and it encourages me to go further. And I sure hope that our listeners experience the same thing. What I really want to talk to you about today is all that glitters is not gold and other foolishness.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that one. That's the one I'm going to post in the next day or so, and this podcast will go along with it. So I've got a couple questions that I need some clarification on, and maybe a little discussion around some of the issues that you cover off here. Do you mind if I jump right in?
How about?
Okay, so recall the story of when Eve saw the fruit of the tree and it was good and pleasing to the eye and desiring for gaining wisdom. And then in the very next paragraph, you go and say it could be truth or it could be a fable or it can be both. And I'm not quite sure how that can fit into my mind. My mind says it's either truth or it's not. And quite frankly, I think I said it on the last podcast, this is a fable to me. This is a story with a metaphor that I can create my own reality or experience through. But you're suggesting here that it might actually have been true, that this snake showed up and talked to this woman and she ate some shiny, glittering fruit that suggested to her in some way it could make her wise? I mean, oh my gosh. Can we be serious about this?
Well, Ryan, let me tell you a little history. When I came roaring into the kingdom in 1957, I believe it was a crazy time. You know, a lot of people will say, "Well, I came to Jesus because I was afraid of dying and." I came to Jesus because I was afraid of living. I didn't know how to live. I was going nuts. I was literally afraid that I would go crazy. when I came into the kingdom, the group I associated with was is strictly fundamentalist, and everything in the Bible was the truth. So I lived with that for many years and adopted that as a doctrine, that the Bible was truth. And a fable, that was, wow, that was a heresy if there ever was any. So when I'm saying that, I'm just saying, look, it really doesn't make any difference to me. So it's a truth or it's fable, or, I mean, it's a real thing or a fable. There's truth there. And, either the truth speaks to you or it doesn't speak to you. The truth speaks to me enough that I love writing about it at times because I can read it and it grabs me. So
are you telling me that it's not about necessarily the story, but it's more about what the story's relating?
Yeah.
What's the concept? What's the idea? What's being presented to me here? And whether it's true or not true doesn't really matter.
Wow. Well, I think it is true. I don't think it doesn't have to be history, but I think what is being portrayed is extremely true. Very true.
So the ideas and concepts are true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just think there's parallels that go on, certainly in my life, to it.
You were hanging out in gardens talking to snakes?
Well, I wrote about that in some book or another I wrote about that it had to do with a couple that came to me because they wanted me to do marriage counseling, and I told them I didn't do that kind of stuff anymore. However, if they wanted to go to Dad together, the three of us, as brothers and sisters, let's have at it. And a couple months went by, and they came back at me and said they'd like to. And anyway, the way I got the guy's attention was to tell him that the story was real. And it was in the appendix, in what we call the manuscript or the appendix in Leapfrog. And it's a true story. The couple, I called them Don and Phil.
I remember the story. I know exactly what you're talking about. But what's your point?
Okay. Well, the point is that story is relevant. It's powerful. It's true. It's in a spiritual, talking to snakes, you just said you were kind of giving me a barb there, and I just say, hey, it's real. When I learned that, and I did it in the middle, because I got this while I was talking to the guy, and I said, hey, she's being lied to, and you're taking the bait. And that's just what happened in the garden.
So then what you mean then is that it's true in the spirit.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, boy, you got us through that.
Okay.
Thank you. That's it.
In our physical world, it doesn't matter whether it's true or not because it's 100% true in the spiritual world.
Wow. Well put. Thank you.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks. I really appreciate the clarity on that. A little bit further on in the article, I get confused again because you're saying to our listeners, don't listen to us. Well, hold on a second. What are you doing? Telling our listeners not to listen. I'm joking. I'm teasing you, of course. Or any other human being or system who/which may be controlled by a snake. Now, what I really want to know is how you personally know that something's being controlled by a snake. And I'm not suggesting that that's the right way for everybody, but how do you do it?
Well, take it in the context of this article. In the context of this article is about the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right?
Right.
And the snake is somebody that's trying to get you to eat fruit because it's going to make you wise and it's going to make you like God. And I don't necessarily have to attach that because most trees, modern day religious trees of knowledge of good and evil, would shrink from that. But what they tell you is this will come with us and you'll learn you'll learn to be obedient to God and you'll learn to da 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 da. So I'm saying anytime we're trying to get you to come along with us because we've got the answers, go away. Don't listen. Go directly. And I'm saying it right now. Go directly to Dad right now and say, are these guys blowing smoke for you? You know, are these guys blowing smoke for me, or are they good for me right now at this stage of my relationship with you, Daddy? That's the deal. And anybody that tries to dissuade you from going directly to him because you need an intermediary, a human being, whether it's a pope, a preacher, a bishop, or you know, the evangelist on a street corner, it doesn't make any difference. Go directly.
Well, what if it's a therapist? What if it's a therapist or a college professor?
Same thing. If he's telling you he's got the answer, and by doing so is dissuading you from going directly to Dad, look out.
Okay.
And I'm not saying avoid the guy. I'm saying take what the guy says with a grain of salt until you check it out with Dad. It's what you and I do with one another. It's what we do about the stuff we put up on this site. It's what you do about publishing my books. It's you ask Dad if you ought to. You ask Dad. Tell me if I'm right or I'm wrong here, but I'm assuming you asked Dad about this article. Because this, when I wrote this article, what is this? I thought it was abstract. And I wrote you an email, and you said no, that you were getting to go with it. Well, here we are. We're doing it.
We are doing it. But it's funny that you just described a particular habit of mine, or maybe even a doctrine. So that leads me to my next question that I want to ask you about what you have in your article here. In the last paragraph, you have in brackets that all doctrines become false at some point. And, you know, the doctrine that I'm holding on to and the one that we're beating up and preaching, or so to I hate to use that word, but the one we're encouraging others to use is go to Dad with everything. At what point does that one become a false doctrine?
I don't see that as a doctrine. I see that as something that supersedes all doctrines.
Which makes it a doctrine.
Pardon?
Well, doesn't that make it a doctrine?
No. I don't see that, because a doctrine is, to me, doctrine is man's attempt to make something that is really, you can't understand it, into something understandable to the man that tries to make it that way. And it's doctrine. It's supposedly teaching, and it could start out from the Spirit. A perfect example is coming to me is manna. God gave manna to the children of Israel every day. And if they saved it, you know what happened to it. It got worms in it, got all garbagey, they couldn't eat it. You couldn't save it. Don't save it. They'd eat it today. And to me, what I get from Dad today, I better not make doctrine out of, because I'm going to go back to him tomorrow. And he may well give me something else because my situation tomorrow is different.
Yeah, but brother, we're teaching the same thing day out and day in. And it's now a belief system. And our belief system says that when we need to make decisions, we need to go to Dad. We need to take him to prayer.
I don't think that's a doctrine. It's semantics, that's all.
Is it? Okay, well, what about asking for faith every day? Is that a doctrine?
No, it's something that we have found to work. I purely have told people, because I'm tired of arguing about it, look, it works for me to go every day and say, Dad, I want more of your Spirit. And it's more of him. Faith is not what I'm after. I'm after fellowship with him, and which is faith. Going to him is a matter of trusting that I'm going to get something from him.
Oh, okay, well, listen up. Listen to this. Here's the definition of doctrine. It's a codification of beliefs or a body of teachings or instructions, taught principles or position as a body of teachings in a branch of knowledge or belief system.
Okay.
You telling me that some of the things that we talk about on this website couldn't be interpreted as doctrine?
No, I'm not telling you that at all.
Well, that's my challenge to you.
I'm sure some of them are. And I'm sure some of them are our doctrine.
Okay, so how do we tell when it becomes false? That's my question, ultimately.
Okay, when it becomes false for me, and I'm not going to get into it right now, but you and I have had a conversation here recently, both by telephone and email, that we didn't record, where you have challenged my thinking. And you've challenged my thinking to the place where I have to question it and go to Dad. I believe differently today because you challenged me than I did a week ago about something, and therefore that doctrine becomes or became false for me at that point when I'm ready to adopt something new from Dad. Why I'm saying Dad supersedes doctrine.
So maybe another way of saying it that I can understand a little better is what is truth? And truth is an ever-changing thing because our perspectives and knowledge and interpretation of what it is we're looking at changes.
Perfectly stated.
You know, I have to be honest with you. I'm concerned with doctrine and repeating the same thing over and over again and not coming to our listeners with fresh understanding. But I guess there are some fundamental premises that we have to stand on to arrive at conclusions at some point in time. And our fundamental premises that we seem to agree on is that you have to go to the source. You can't just rely on what a man or what you hear in your head tells you. You have to go to the source every time.
Well, then that would bring the question, and by the way, I agree totally with what you just said, but in fairness, to somebody who doesn't agree with us, I would say, well, then, wait a minute, you. How do you know that you're talking to the source? That's why I believe the Bible, and the Bible has all the truth. And if you can't square it with the Bible, then I won't buy it.
There's a very simple answer to that.
What is it?
Well, go and ask.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I'm wrong, then you come back and tell me I'm wrong, and I'm willing to go and ask myself.
That's it.
Right, we'll both go ask. As a matter of fact, we don't have to go anywhere. Let's just ask right now.
Exactly.
I believe you tell a story. Is it in Treasure Chest or Leapfrog of meeting a fella in a restaurant for coffee and you challenge him right there on the spot and he responds and he gets his answer right there, doesn't he?
Oh, it's hilarious. He sure did. And like with a crowded restaurant with all the people looking at him, he's got his hands up in his air and says, Jesus, I want you to be my only pastor. I don't want to listen to anybody else. And he stops and people are looking at us and he says, did you hear that? And I said, hear what? And he said, the covering is removed. There was a blanket over me and it just went away. Swoosh! Didn't you hear the swoosh?
That's fun.
That guy became something else. That was interesting. Yeah, I don't know where I think it was Treasure Chest I wrote that in. But the true story is a beautiful story.
Thanks, Brad. Once again, you have answered my questions and I hope expanded the understanding of your writing to our listening audience. And I look forward to the next one.
Hey, let me give you a little bit of doctrine.
No, stop there.
And the doctrine is this, go direct.
Okay, I can accept that doctrine. Okay, thanks, and have a great evening.
Hey, thank you.